I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, now we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the best football show podcast, and Insider Calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Brian joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Brian, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me. It's a beautiful sunny morning here in South Jersey, and getting ready to start week 7 here tonight.
And mercifully, the Bears get a bye week. Hopefully, they'll heal up a little bit. But, man, they've won 3 games in a row. Obviously, the quarterback looks like a different player than he did earlier in the year, and everybody in Chicago's feeling pretty good.
Well, they should, because they played good football. And, you know, I think the biggest improvement, it really is the offensive line. You know, Matt Pryor at right guard, and, you know, to see what's going on up front with those guys, and their commitment to the run game has been really strong the last 3 weeks, and the quarterback has benefited. And with that, you know, now that the offense line looks like it's functioning and it's playing well together, and their assignments are good together, and there's some real gelling and chemistry that's going on, I think that, you know, Shane Waldron has now kind of expanded the playbook, knowing that the quarterback might have time to get the ball down the field to try some of the plays that we saw last week. I think the playbook is expanding because of the confidence in the front with the group up front.
You mentioned Shane Waldron. I think the first 3 games were somewhat inconsistent and at times illogical in terms of the play calling. The last 3 weeks have been a little bit more consistent and they make sense. What do you think changed most, Brian? And when you evaluate the last 3 games of success for the Bears, those 3 victories, what have they done better offensively?
Well, I think they're staying in front of the chains a lot more. They're not in third and long as often as they were those first 3 weeks. The line has played better. You know, I'm proud of Matt Pryor. I've known him a long time. Like, he's playing good football right now up front. You know, you put him next to Wright and, you know, Colton Coleman and Tevin and you know, Jonesy over there. I mean, it's a good group. And the tight ends have figured out their role in this thing. Obviously, Cole Kmet was huge in the passing game, but he's a good blocker. They use Mercedes when they need to. I think it started with the commitment to the run game. DeAndre Swift's had 3 good games in a row. I think that's the big thing is they've got stability on the line and they're running the ball better. The quarterback, I think, you know, now trusts the protection, so he's staying in the pocket. You know, like, he was all over the place the first 3 weeks. And he was, you know, it was just helter-skelter football, and that's, you can't win like that. So he's trusted the protection. He's winning from the pocket. He's making the big plays when he needs to. But he's kind of taking what the defense has given him, and he's making good reads, and you're seeing strong accuracy when he makes the throw. I think all those things add up to an offense that is now, you know, scoring a lot of touchdowns.
It's interesting because I love the kid's demeanor out of the game. He didn't talk about the success he had throwing 4 touchdowns. He talked about the one he missed. He had an interception where DJ Moore was wide open and he underthrew the ball, and that allowed an interception, and he was gutted by it. And that's, you know, it's good to hear a guy kind of not celebrating what he did, but regretting what went wrong.
He did the same thing the week before after a win, you know, called Kerry Joseph up, his quarterback coach, and, you know, just started, you know, letting him know what he did wrong in the game after a big win. I think that's who he is. I knew the kid when he was in Gonzaga High School in Washington and working with him in some camps. He was a very advanced student when he was in high school with a lot of talent. But he was at the camp because he wanted to get better. He was being coached by some elite coaches, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, some elite guys. And so I think that's who he is. I think he wants to be great. I think he knows he was gifted with a lot of talent. And the Bears have done a good job surrounding him with talent. And I think that's – I don't think it's about one game and celebrating and, you know, having – throwing for – I don't think that's what it's about. I think it's about being a very consistent player, giving your team a chance to win every single week, trying to get better in every little way that you can, whether it's just ball handling or carrying out your fakes or you know, putting your eyes in the right place. I think that's who this kid is. And despite what everybody wants to think about him, at the core, he loves the game of football and he wants to be great at it.
This segment with Brian Baldinger is brought to you by TimberTech Decking and Railing. Everything wood should be. Visit TimberTech.com. Baldy, I love the breakdown when you isolated on Austin Booker and you praised him for his effort. Why did that play stand out to you, and how would you evaluate his progress?
Well, I mean, he hasn't played a lot, but he's, you know, look, when you play football in the Big 12 like he did at Kansas, like it's a different brand of football. It's a totally different level of football. Everybody plays the same defense in that conference. Everybody plays a 3-3 double cloud. Like, you never really learn how to rush the passer. But they drafted him because he's got good measurables, you know, and he's a good kid. But when that play was indicative of how they want to play defense, they want to get to the football. Good things happen. They're taking the ball away. Good things happen when you get to the football. And, you know, he rushed the passer. They threw this, you know, check down screen. The screen game is got to be shut down by your defensive line. So you got to retrace your steps. You got to double back, and you got to get to the ball. And he makes the tackle. And look, he's not playing a lot, but he's getting on the field right now. And I'm like, this is what you want to see from this kid. You want to turn the projector on. You're sitting there in the room. There's Montez Sweat. There's some veteran players that are in that room with you, and you show up. Like, I think the guys are like, he's gonna get there. It's gonna take some time. We gotta learn these offenses. You gotta learn these blocking schemes. But that is the type of effort that I think, you know, the coaches on that side of the ball, that's what they want to see. They want to see that type of effort sprinting to the football. And it just, you know, like, it just kind of hit me like, this is how this Bears team plays right now. And he fits in with that culture. And that those type of plays get you on the field more and more.
Baldy, we were talking about the idea of had Jaden Daniels not been doing all he's doing, people would be talking more about Caleb Williams and how he's been improving, even if the schedule has been favorable. Well, now they go to Washington after the bye week, and it's Caleb back in his hometown against the number two pick in the draft, Jaden Daniels. It just feels like it's kind of one of those big moments for a guy that seems to like big moments.
Oh, I mean, look, and the networks have accommodated them. They've already flexed the game from 1 o'clock to 4:25. It's in the national window. They want everybody to see these two kids. And, you know, I'm on that game. I'm doing that game for national radio and found out, I guess, maybe Monday night or Tuesday morning that they were flexing it. Like, I was great. You know, like, let's give them the biggest stage possible. We need great young quarterbacks in this league. We just do. You know, when this was a 12-team league, we didn't have enough great quarterbacks. We need great quarterbacks. And if they're young and improving, the way Jaden played against Lamar last week, that was an awesome game. The way, you know, Lamar played against Joe Burrow 2 weeks ago in Cincinnati, that was an awesome game. You get these young quarterbacks that have legit talent, and they don't need a big incubation period to kind of grow and show that talent. I mean, we're in the entertainment industry. These guys are entertaining the heck out of us right now. It's fantastic for the league. It's going to be a big spot, win or lose. It's going to be a big spot. You know, Caleb needs to feel that. Jaden needs to feel that, because both teams feel like right now they can be playoff contending teams, and that's what playoff games are. And to some degree, it's going to feel a lot like that next Sunday afternoon.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellmann's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So how impressed were you with what Cole Kmet did? He caught two touchdown passes, and then he became the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week with five long snaps, successful long snaps. I know there was a guy, he was the first player since Mike Bartram from the Eagles to score a touchdown and then snap the extra point. Do you remember him with the Eagles, and how impressed are you by Kmet?
Well, first of all, I've been in that role where you're the backup snapper.
Ah.
And you hope, you practice every day, you know, with special teams. And, you know, I mean, Cole Kmet, believe me, nobody wants that job. Nobody. You have to do it because you can only fail. If you go and deliver the snap like he did, nobody really even knows you're doing it. And you only know it if something goes wrong. I did it one time against the Raiders, and this is before they changed all the rules where they just beat the hell out of the center. And there's Howie Long on my nose, and I got to get this extra point snap back, you know, to the holder. Like, it's a pressure job. I'm sure Cole, you know, felt all that pressure, way more pressure than anything else he was doing. But to go out and do it like he did, like, congratulations to the guys that vote on that award, because he earned it and deserved it. Because believe me, nobody wants to be in that position where you're in a position to fail. You don't do it regularly. You never do it under pressure. You never do it against a live rush. You just got to go and be a pro and just do it. And more power to Cole in doing that.
Yeah, he was fortunate that they did not have to punt, right? So he just kind of had to do the same trick. That's worse, right? I'm just wondering, you know, I was reading our guy Brad Biggs from the Tribune got a hold of Patrick Manley, who one of the great all-time long snappers, never got that award, by the way. But it's the first time any long snapper has ever gotten honored as a special teams player of the week. But he was saying that, like, when he talks to high school teams, if they're out of, you know, looking for a long snapper, he will tell them, try your backup quarterback, because it really is a snap of the wrist. It's not, it's like throwing the ball between your legs. It's not like snapping the ball. And we talked to Olin Krutz earlier in the week, and he said that if he were asked to be a long snapper, he'd have been a construction worker. He just couldn't do it.
No. Well, first of all, Olin Krutz, myself, like, our elbows are shot to begin with, just from, you know, run block and pass blocking all day, every day. Like, your elbows are in pain mostly. So especially a guy like Olin, man, just nose tackles, outweighing him by 50 pounds every Sunday or whatever. And he's battling these guys. And then you're saying, okay, because it is a snap and you do have to, you know, it is a pass, but it's, you know, your elbows are snapping every day. Like, it hurts to do it. Like, I'm with Olin. If I had to do that full time, and back, you know, back when I played, we didn't have specialists that did it. You know, our centers and our backup center like me, like, we did the snapping, and it was double duty. And so Olin's not wrong, and Patrick Manley is right when he says it's really like that. But I don't think we should put backup quarterback in
high school.
Brian, right. with the bye week, there's no Bears opponent to break down. I'm curious what your perspective is on something you probably know a lot about in Philadelphia. Eagles coach Nick Sirianni, obviously in hot water, a lot of controversy because of the way that he was yelling at the fans who were booing. Is there anything he can do to rehabilitate his image there? Is he lost the fan base? Can he ever regain it?
Yeah, I mean, it's one game. I did the game. I saw him doing it during the game. I had no idea what the heck he was thinking about. Like, these Philadelphia fans were in the parking lot, much like Bear fans, 5 hours before a game, win or lose, good season, bad season, they're there. Like, those fans pay every salary. And the team wasn't playing good, okay? And so, you know, they had a punt block for a touchdown, you know, against Cleveland, who's a bad team. And, you know, like, they struggled to win the game. And he's giving the fans the business. Like, first of all, that you never win that argument, ever. So that's one thing. But then where's your concentration at during the game? Like, Cleveland, if they made one play, they could have won that game. They couldn't make it. But it just blew me away. So can he rehabilitate? Yes. I'm sure if I was the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, I mean, I'd have him in my office as soon as the game was over and scolding him like a child, because that's how he acted, like a child. Like, there's no place for that. I don't care what he thinks the result was going to be, motivate his team, rally the troops, whatever he was thinking. I've never seen that before. And I've seen Buddy Ryan come through Philly. And it's one thing, you're walking off the field after a game, the fans are booing you after a bad game, and you give the fans the business walking off the field. During the game, I've never seen a coach ever do that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, like, we talked about this a little bit, the idea that one coach has already been fired in October almost gives these guys permission to be the next guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be awful careful seeing what happened with Robert Saleh.
Well, I mean, look, we saw it last year in Carolina. You know, they blew their coaching staff out, you know, after a few games. I mean, this It's a quick cook in this business right now. Like, they're not going to let you, if they don't feel like the organization is going in the right direction, that they're being well led by your head coach. These owners, they're not afraid to make a change. I mean, it's better to do it too early than to too late.
Great stuff, Brian. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brian. Yep.
All right, talk to you next week, man. Yep. Can't wait for next week's game.
Good stuff. That should be really funny. And he's doing the game. We'll get a great breakdown next week. That's Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. He is the host of the Best Football Show podcast. And insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.